Next time you're going to Harav Rechot, let me know. I would send regards. I have so many members of my family. I don't know if you got to that area.
Is there shlichus to that?
It's not Chav L'Acheri, I don't think. So we began this fantastic essay called No Seitam Bar No Seitam, which is an analysis of Shmuel in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that if you cook fish with meat, you're allowed to eat this fish with kuta, with milchus, based on the principle of no seitam bar no seitam.
So this is Chet. I only have Vav and Hey and Vav.
All right, so let's see if we get up to Zion. You know, this is an installment for, if not for today, then for tomorrow. And let's just review some of the main highlights of our discussion of yesterday. We spent a lot of time on the Ramban. The Ramban's shita is that Shmuel is based on a concept called Tam Shlishi, that the Tam of the Basar in the Dagim is a Tam Sheni. The Torah recognizes Tam Sheni as a Tam, but only in and of itself. Like, for example, we could talk about the Cholov giving Tam into the Basar. And the Basar has a Tam. I'm sorry. Let me start again. The Cholov could give Tam into the Dagim, and the Dagim themselves have a Tam of Basar. So if our issue, and that's going to be Reb Kivega here, is the Dagim per se, then that, according to the Ramban, should come under the principle called Tam Sheni Hu Tam Gabur. And Reb Kivega is going to try to figure out how Shmuel, according to the Ramban, could have possibly permitted taking the fish and eating it with milchiks. The Tam of the Cholov, together with the Tam Sheni of the Basa, is going to mix in the fish. And that's where Reb Kivega is going to come up with his fantastical chiddush, based on the language of the Ramban, that Basa Mecholov is only a two-way street, where the Tam of the Basa goes into the Cholov and vice versa. Here, the Tam of the Basa cannot enter into the Cholov, and the reason for that is because in the Cholov we have what's called the Tam Shlishi. If I could ask, maybe that we just close the door. I'll tell you why, because Baruch Hashem, we live in close quarters. I saw, Yosef, that you looked at me with like eyebrows going up. Were you upset about something that I said?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to follow it.
So again, let's just reiterate. There are two ways of understanding Shmuel's heter of Dagim Shaluk Olu Bekara Muta Lochla Bekuta. One way is to say that a Tam Sheni is not considered a Tam. So the Tam went from the Basar into the Kalim, from the Kalim into the Dagim, and in a case of Hetera Bola, Tam Sheni is nothing. That's not the understanding of the Ramban. The Ramban understands that the Tam Sheni itself is Asur, even though it's a Tam Kolosh, it's already a weak Tam. The reason why Shmuel allows you to eat the fish with Kutach is because the Tam Kolosh does not have a power to generate a Tam in the Shlishi. Shlishi means it went from the Basar into the Kalim, that's number one, from the Kalim into the Dagim, that's number two, from the Dagim into the Kutach, that's number three. So once we stop at point, we'll call it station number two, which is the Dagim, we already have a Tam Kolosh. That Tam itself would be Asur. However, a Tam Kolosh could not generate an Iser of a Shlishi. Tosus is on the other hand is of the opinion that a Tam Sheni is not a Tam Asur. And if you want to follow this inside, and you happen to have in front of you page Kuf Nun Hey, you'll see this in a paragraph on the left column called Ach. Ach das hatosvis the rosh v'arashba shehetah shel nat bar nat hu lahatir es hatam ashedi biatzmo. So it's not that the tam kolish of the tam shedi cannot effectuate a tam shlishi, an isa tam shlishi, but rather that the tam shedi, insofar as the tam kolish, is not considered tam. Now, what does that mean? It's not considered tam. We know that if you cook nevela in a pot and then you cook basar heter in that pot, the basar heter is asur if there's no shishu. So you see that a tam shedi is asur. How could the Ramban? I'm sorry. How could Tosu say that a tam shedi is not a tam in and of itself?
This is heter beheter.
Exactly. And the answer has to be that we're talking about heter and bala. So when we say that according to Shita Satosus, and many Rishonim accept the Shita, that the heter of Nat Bar Nat is because the Tam Shedi Biatzmo is a Tam Kolish, and therefore doesn't come under the principle of Tam Ki'ikar, that's only because we're talking about Dogim. And Dogim with meat inside is called heter beheter. It's called heter and bala. But in the case of Isura Bola, then everybody agrees, even Tosfos, that a Tam Shedi would generate an Isur.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing we left out in our discussion is the Acherim of the Ramban, which you'll see here in the paragraph Shita Mechudeshes. And the Acherim of the Ramban claim that even if you were to cook fish in the same pot with meat, Shmuel would allow you to eat that fish with kutach. And that's a pella of a chidush. Nobody besides this Yesh Omrim in the Ramban is going to maintain that position. And basically what these Acherim are claiming is that when you cook the fish with basar, and the Dogim now receive the tam of basar, then although that tam of basar in the fish is called a tam rishon, when you cook the fish with chalav, then you're generating a tam sheni, and a tam sheni is not awesome. So let's understand. The good news is that the Acherim and the Ramban really belong to the camp of Tosfos v'Seyoso, that a tam sheni is not awesome. In and of itself, that's not what's included on the tam ki'ikar. The bad news is that we understood that if he cooks that fish, number one, with fleishiks, and now he cooks it with bilchiks, what you're left with is a tam rishon. The Acherim in the Ramban say no. He cooks the fish with fleishiks, and that's the tam rishon. When he then goes ahead and cooks the fish with bilchiks, that's already a tam sheni. And we have the sheet of Tosfos that a tam sheni in and of itself is not recognized by the Torah as a tam. But let's go back now to the Ramban and review Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now you want to turn to page Kuf Nun Vav. And here's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. How could it be that Shmuel would allow you to cook the dogim with the chalav under the rubric of Tam Shlishi, that's the Ramban Shita. What about the fact that the chalav is giving a tam chalav into the basar? That's not a tam shlishi at all. The chalav itself, being cooked with the fish, is now giving a taste of chalav into the fish. And a taste of basar in that fish is, according to Ramban, a bliya hoseres, because tam shedi is included under tam ki'ikah. So let's look at this fish. How is Shmuel going to allow me to eat the fish? The fish has within it both a tam of basar and a tam of chalav. Now, admittedly, the tam of basar of the fish is a tam sheni. However, the Ramban's opinion is that a tam sheni is considered tam. Right, let's go back to the Ramban again. Shetam sheni utam gomor. And even Shmuel agrees that tam sheni is a tam gomor. Now, when the tam of the chalav enters into the fish, that's not a tam shlishi, that's a tam rishon. So he's got a tam sheni of basar mixed with a tam rishon of cholav. How can he possibly eat the dogim when the Rabban holds a tam sheni choshev tam? Here's where we have Rav Kivega's breakthrough, this revolution of sorts, and a redefinition of Basa Macholov, basing himself, as it were, on a one-line statement of the Ramban, where the Ramban says, V'yitnu tav ze bazeh. The Ramban means to say, according to Rav Kivega's interpretation, that there's got to be a two-way street. It's got to be reciprocal. Remember that word, reciprocity? That's what we used to study those words when we were in high school, because they had in high school, what you call a grammar school, right? They had what's called the SATs, which is sort of like the O-levels or the A-levels. I always get confused which is which. But in any event, what you have is a series of exams that divide into two categories. One exams are mathematical, the other are verbal. And we used to sit there for hours studying words that we thought they would ask on the exam and what they mean. So there was a word reciprocity. It's a very fancy word. Reciprocal means, in the world of the sea, of the fish, it's called symbiotic relationship, where you get from me and I get from you. And that has to work in two directions. So the Ramban says that although the Kutach is definitely going to give tam into the Dogim, but nevertheless the Dogim could not give a tam into the Kutach, because the Dogim is already a tam Shani, and when it gets to the Kutach, it's already a tam Shlish, which is not Osir at all.
So the rest of the process, it has to be on the same level.
Right, it has to be a tam of Isur, or a real, genuine tav ki ikar, we'll call it, of both basar and cholav, going in both directions.
I didn't understand that.
You didn't follow what I'm saying?
Even though the kutach will give tam in the dugim
cannot give tam into the kutach. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because of tam shlishi. That was the Ramban's theory, that okay. It already became a tam kolosh in the fish, because it went from the Basar into the Kalim, but and a Tam Kolish could not generate an Iser when it gets mixed up with a Tam Shlishi. So that again, we have every logical reason in the world to say that the Dogim should be Asur, right, because it now has a Tam Shani of Basar together with the Tam Rishon of Cholav, but there's a technicality here, that since the Cholav is Mutter, because the Tam of the Basar into the Cholav is a Tam Shlishi, hence the Basar itself is Mutter. What?
The
okay. So this is where we got up to yesterday, I believe. And we're up to a paragraph that starts V'yesh lahosif bazeh. Yes? And then we want to go on to the Prima Gadol. So the V'yesh lahosif bazeh asks the following obvious question. We kick ourselves for not asking this question ourselves. How could Shmuel permit eating the dogim together with the kutach, where the dogim has a tam sheni of basar, which according to the Ramban is a tam gomur? You're not allowed to eat fleshiks with milchiks, even if everything is absolutely cold and there's no bishul. So on a derabbanan level, how could Shmuel allow this? You know, maybe on a deraisa level he could convince us that there's no tam here because it's tam shlishi, but you cannot deny that he's eating milchiks with fleshiks in the same mouthful. And that for sure is awesome in Rabbanah. So Shmuel's going to tell me to take this fish and eat it with kutach? How could that possibly be? So he quotes a sefer called the Yad Yehuda. I used to know who the Yad Yehuda is, but I forgot. For some reason, Lichmer and Zinner, that maybe he was a Chabadnik, I'm not sure. Anyway, so this Yad Yehuda wants to say the following, that when we prohibit eating milchiks with fleshiks, there's a limitation rule, there's a restriction. And that applies when it's roi litein tam zebazeh. The Chachamim are imagining that when you put milchiks and fleshiks in your mouth, those milchiks and fleshiks, if they were not in your mouth but rather were in a pot and they were cooking together, that would be basa b'cholav. In other words, we're working in a sense backwards. We're saying that when the Rabbanan prohibited two substances, two foodstuffs, milchiks and fleishiks tzonin, and everything is cold in one mouthful, let's go back to the moment before he ate the two together. They were sitting on a table. And what are we afraid of? If they're sitting on a table, he might do what with them?
Eat them together.
Again, there's no reason why I can't eat them together. I can eat milchiks and fleishiks together. What's the issue? Everything is cold. The Torah says, Lo sevashal gediba chalev imo. So before he puts these two into his mouth, the Rabbanan say it's awesome. Why? What are the Rabbanan worried about? That he might cook it together. That's called in the Gemara's language, Shaviyala be'ilfas be'kli rishon, if you recall. That two things on the table might be cooked together in a kli rishon.
Why isn't that exera l'exera?
Exera l'exera? Oh, you say that if we allow him to eat together, then he'll come to cook it together. And cookie, well, one second, let me just get this straight. If he cooks them together, I don't think it's exactly
your abundant to begin with, that you can't eat them together. Now you're saying that you want to make a gezera on the dinder abundant that you no.
Oh, you're saying, I know what you're asking. Halal ashulchan.
Yeah.
Which is exerid rabbanan. I'm not allowed to put, if I'm eating from this table, I can't put milks and fleshes on the same table. That should be exerid. Why? Because what are you afraid of? You're afraid. No. That's also not exerid. But again, this is all after the Gemara's answer. You're right. The Gemara in the Habdi thought it was exerid. Why? Because even if you would eat them together, you're not violating any Isser. So you're afraid that he might come to cook them together.
And then he would be violating it.
Correct. So the Gemara answers that, again, it's a Pella, but if you had a fire, so to speak, that's not what the Gemara means by a Kli Rishon, but let's say you had a fire on the table.
Yeah.
Right, if you...
A portable burner.
Portable burner, excellent. You had a portable burner on the table. I remember there's a restaurant in Netanya, I've been there years, if it still exists, called Gichalim. Have you ever heard of it? No, that's a very good hechsher. So what they do is...
Gichalim,
they bring out the Gichalim to the table in a portable thing, and you actually watch your food continue to grill on the grill as you're eating, right? When I was a kid, they used to have a restaurant, I forgot what it was called, they had a poo-poo platter. You remember this?
Oh, yeah. Moshe Peking.
Moshe Peking. They actually have a portable thing with those flames. It looks like those tea lights.
Sterno,
it's called.
Yeah.
So the Gemara is afraid that if we allow him to eat from the same table, milchus and fleishiks, he might have a sterno on the table,
right,
and he might cook them together. So that's why it's not exera. But again, everything is because we anticipate the possibility, in a theoretical sense, that he might come to create basa b'chol. However, in our case of Shmuel, where the dogim only have what? What kind of tam basar is in the dogim? A tam sheni. So that's a tam kolosh. Then even if you were to cook the tam sheni with cholov, you would not produce basa b'cholov, because a tam kolosh, tam sheni, could not produce a tam shlishi. This despite the fact that the cholov could produce a tam rishon in the dogim, but that's where we fall back on Rabbi Kivei. So this is fascinating because, in basa b'cholov, the Rabbanut has a whole series of questions they ask you if you want to get smicha. And sometimes they kind of trip you up a little bit. You know, and this would be a kind of a trip up question. You know, when could you eat something that has a tam of ki'ikar of basar together with cholov in the same mouthful? And the answer is going to be where that tam ki'ikar is a tam sheni, which doesn't have the power, even if it was cooked with milk, to create a tam shlishi. So it's fascinating. You know, the Gemara has a whole agadah about how we can enjoy this world in a way that we get the same pleasures of Isur. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like the Gemara says, how can you eat dam? So the Gemara says you take a kaved, you know, which is full of dam, and you do melicha, then you eat the kaved, you'll get the taste of the dam. And the Gemara goes through a whole list of different isurim. It's on daf kuf yud, the kuf yud aleph. So I'm just thinking out loud, how could you eat something that would have the taste of basar, and a taste of chalav. And now we have it. You can eat together, according to Shmuel, a tav sheni of basar with a tav rishon of chalav. And a tav sheni of basar is a tav ki'ikar, according to the Ramban. And certainly the tav rishon, according to everyone, is a tav ki'ikar. So you're going to taste basar and chalav at the same time. And Shmuel allows it. This is the way that you can get a taste of basar and chalav. The Gemara comes up with another possibility, which I don't remember what it is. Do you remember by any chance, John? You have a Gemara Chulin?
I do.
Look up if you can, because my memory doesn't serve me well. Had the Gemara come up with a case on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph? No, it's earlier, I think, Daf Kuf Yud, or so that you can get a taste of Basar B'chol. Today you can get a taste of Basar B'chol because they have all sorts of parva.
Yeah, cheeseburgers.
Yeah, cheeseburgers. Yeah, you can have a parva hamburger, you know. See. All right. So now, we want to get to the Prima God. Just 1 second. Maybe we don't have those pages. Let's see where Dalit is. Did I photocopy that? Did I do Kuf Nun Tes? I think I did, but I'm not sure. What were the two pages I gave you today?
These big ones.
I know, big ones.
Kuf Nun, no, it's just the Zion and Ches.
Just Zion and Ches. Okay. So only because of time, I'll read to you the Prima Godim, and you'll tell me this sounds very familiar. He says the following, that no say tam bar no say tam in Shmuel is based on the fact that it's a tam kolosh. What does that mean when we say it's a tam kolosh? Does it mean A, that it's a tam she'eno nirgash, meaning if you would eat it, you would not actually taste that tam? Or is it some sort of halachic principle called a tam kolosh? And it's totally irrelevant as to whether or not you will taste the tam. So this is a chakira, an analysis of the Prima Godim. But what I didn't know, because until now we know the Prima Godim from the Mereshis
Moshe. Yeah, we had this.
Correct.
We did this.
But I didn't know that there was a Yamshel Shlomo about this. Now keep in mind, the Yamshel Shlomo is like almost 4 centuries before the Prima Godim. Certainly 3 centuries and a half, probably. So he writes the following. Are we assuming that according to Shmuel, Mistama, please underline that word Mistama, Ein Tam Klal, he won't feel the taste of the Basar in the Dagim, because it went from the Basar into the Kalim and from the Kalim into the Dagim. Oh, or are we meant to assume that Afal Gav Sheyesh Tam Basar in Dagim, even though I have to admit these fish don't taste, they taste a little fishy, meaning they taste a little different, and there's a taste of basar, mikolmakom, kevod shehu kolush, is eno choshev tam. So again, according to the first understanding, it's based on a mistom, that without any evidence to the contrary, we have every right to assume, but it's an assumption on our part, that he won't taste the tam of the basar and the dogim. The second approach goes way, way beyond that. And even if you would, in fact, taste the basar and the dogim, nevertheless, it's not called tam, meaning the halacha doesn't recognize it. For example, he quotes the Ra'ah in Berek HaBayis. The Ra'ah writes, Keva de Tera the Aklish, since it's both a tam of heter and it's weak, kule hai lo chashuv basar klal, which I would add another word, lo chashuv tam basar klal. So that approach puts it into a halachic perspective. So he writes, "Nafkabina be ofet she bargishim es tam abasa bedogim im abirur benosim tam barosim tam." Who she'ein atam nirgash kan b'makom shatavu nirgash yesh less, or even Shmuel would agree that's also you're not allowed to cook it with milk. But if we're going to say that what is nosim tam or nosim tam is the tam kolish ein o chashiv tam klal, then even in a case where margishim es hatam, it's all mutter. Why? Because the tam itself, even though I taste it, is a tam kolish.
It's not a halachic tam.
Correct. It's not a halachic tam. We don't apply the principle of tam ki'ika. And here he quotes the Yamshel Shlomo. Says the Yamshel Shlomo, "B'makom shemurgash hatam, yesh lesar, af b'nosim tam bar nosim tam." Meaning, which definition is he working with, the Yamshel Shlomo, when he says that if you taste the basar, you're not allowed to cook it with milk? Taste the basar, the dogu? The stomach. No. I lost you, Yosef. Do you follow? The Yamshel Shlomo wants to set a limit to how far Shmuel is going. And he's saying that even though Shmuel holds nosim tam by nosim tam is mutter, but in a case where he tastes the tam of the basar, it's asur, even according to Shmuel. What principle or what definition is the Yamshel Shlomo apparently operating with? The stomach. Here's the exception to the stomach. And now the Yamshel Shlomo wants to prove this based on the Rosh. The Rosh writes, with regard to Dogim Sha'olu Bekara, that you're allowed to eat them according to Shmuel with Cholov, that only applies Kodem to Imas Yisrael, before somebody went ahead and tasted it. You follow what's going on, and usually Te'ima is a reference to who? Who does Te'ima for us? Like, for example, in Tipas Chol Shenofla Alachatichas Bas, to guy, because you can't put a Jew into that suffix, you know, that maybe he'll taste the Bas Mechalav and violate the Isa Bas Mechalav. That's a no-no. But there are rare cases where we can give it to Yisrael to taste, and that's going to be the Nat Bar Nat of Shmuel. We have this piece of fish that was cooked in a fleshing pot.
That's when you taste it.
Go ahead and eat the fish. Right. Is anyone going to tell you not to eat the fish?
No. But then you can say, even a yid can say, it tastes like basar, it doesn't taste like basar.
So why does the Rosh, this is the kasha of the Yamshel Shlomo, have to insist that Shmuel's heter of eating the dogim bekutach is kodem to imas Yisrael? What is he implying? That it might very well be that after the te'ima, Shmuel would be moda, that it's also, if the results of this te'ima are negative, you know, if you get the results of the test, or let's call it positive, I should say, right, that he tastes the basar in the dogim, then Shmuel would admit that you cannot eat it. So we're going to rely on this mistama, but we're going to first taste it to make sure that this mistama is reliable. Is oisgal, you know, that it's really true that there's no serious taste of basar in the dung. But if as a result of that test, after we taste the dung, and we find, lo and behold, wow, it's got a meaty taste, then according to the Rosh, you would not be allowed to eat it with challah. And now we're ready for the Prima God. Hiksha Prima God. If nosei tam or nosei tam is based on mistama, then until proven otherwise, we assume that there's no tam of basar. He says, why not apply that same logic to a case of isur? So I have a pot in which I cooked nevela, and now I take this pot and I cook basar heter in this pot. What are you going to do with the basar heter if there's no shishu? Throw it in the rubbish bin. Or feed it to your dog, right? Why? Why not apply bistava? Bistava that there's no hargashas tam.
There's no tam involved. You can't tell the different tam. I'm talking about practically.
So maybe my case is not a good case. You're right. Let's come up with a better case. Let's see. He cooks, let's say, truma with basar shchuta, right? So truma has a different time than basar shchuta. Truma comes from gidui karka. So here's a case of isur where there are two different times. And we're going to say that unless you know that there's shishim, everything is awesome. Why? Why not assume it's stoma, there's no tam? Oh, okay, fine. you gentlemen always get me on the technicalities, you know. Okay, fine.
We can say it, we can complain.
Right. Let me just see if by chance he has a footnote. Maybe he gives you a different Hechen Timsa. No, I don't know. Fine. Oh. So then the Prima Godim continues to quote many, many Rishonim, a whole list, who hold that there's no such thing as not bar not in the case of Isura. It's only Hatera Bala. So it seems that these Rishonim hold that there is a serious tam of Isur, even in the case of no say tam or no say tam, but they're only willing to accept Shmuel's heter of not bar not in the case of heter of bala. So it has nothing to do with mistoma or not mistoma. It's very true that when you cook in this pot, and this pot has a blia in it, you're going to taste that blia in the product that you're cooking in the pot. Nevertheless, the Torah was matirin according to Shmuel in the case of Hetera Bala. Therefore, the Prima Godim comes to the following conclusion. In the case of Hetera, Yesh Din shall no say tam bar no say tam. I want to emphasize that word din. The af b'mokum shemurgash atam. Even though when I eat the fish, I admit that I'm tasting meaty fish. But nevertheless, it's mutter. And I can eat it with kuta. He says the following. Kasuri showed him should be isur in a case where you cooked isur in a pot and then you cooked heter in the pot. Yesh lesar. And the reason for that is because the heter is now going to receive the tam of the isur. The same thing applies in the case of dogim. If you cook dogim in a pot that was fleshix, the dogim are going to receive the tam of the basa. And the answer is that bedover heter, right? Like dogim, yesh din shel no say tam bar no say tam. So you see clearly from the Rishonim that the din of no say tam 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 it applies even when there's a tam murgash, because the Rishonim say that if it would have been Isur, there's a tam murgash. Well, if it's tam murgash in the case of Isur, it will be a tam murgash in the case of a cooking fish in a fleshik pot. So what's the difference between the two? It's got to be a halachic difference between Hetera and Isura. And in Isur, we're going to be machmir because of that tam that still remains as the heter who picked up the tam from the kelim. But in the case of heter, we're going to say that that tam is a tam kolush, which is a halachic category, and even though it's a tam nirgash, it's going to be muta bikuta. And he writes that no say tam bar no say tam, even though the tam is murgash, since it's kolush, is then in the case of Isur, we're going to say Kevin Shu Murgash, it's awesome. But in the case of Heter, we can be Matarit because it's not a Tam Gomur, it's not a complete Tam. Even though it's a Tam Murgash. If you tasted it, you would taste that Tam. But not, it's not really a full fledged Tam. And the reason for that is because it's already a Tam Shady. But why are we going to allow you to eat that with kutach? The answer is because It's not a tav gavur, and something other than a tav gavur is not capable of creating an isur of basar b'chala. And now he quotes the Ritva. We said in the Maharishi's motion that the Ritva was based on a kind of comparison to Reichav Milsa. He doesn't seem to have that, but he quotes the Ritva, the Bedogim Yesh Tav Basar, that the Ritva confirms our suspicion that the Dogim have a Tav Basar in it. The Afal Picha Yesh La Tira B'chol Mishum Shetav Kolush, which is a halachic category, not a description of the physical reality, but a Tav Kolush which cannot generate an Iser, because it's a Tav of Heta. So the truth is, we'd have to really learn the Ritva thoroughly to figure out where this Chakir the Ritva stands, because we said that his comparison to Reichav Milsa seems to indicate that he's dealing with a Tav Murgash. But here he's quoting the Ritva saying that even though there's a Tav Murgash, nevertheless it's mutter to eat it with Kutach because of this halachic category called the Tav Kolosh. Now he brings here a list of Achronim who accept the shita of the Prima Gadim, V'chein Pascha Prichadosh, V'yad Yehuda.
Yehuda Lando.
Oh, Lando is his last name? Oh. So then he was probably very much opposed to Hasidus. If it's the Lando that I'm thinking of. Yeah. But you know what? The name Yad Yehuda is very, very common in Sfarim. You're probably right. It's Lando. I have a copy here, somewhere in the base measures, I think. But in any event, B'dogim Shalom V'karim Mutal Ochel V'Cholav, and the Yad Yehuda, together with the Prichadosh, say that Medubar, if Medubar B'ein, B'dogim V'tam Vosser Zem Poshet, El Aheter He, Af Im Yesh B'dogim Tam Vosser, Dekevon, Sha'ovar Shnei Tam V'Heter, is Huklash Tamo V'Eino Choshev Tam. So we see that they accepted the approach of the Prima God. So now Rav Hossein, let's go back to the page that you do have, which should be Kuf Nun Ches, the last page I gave out. So on the bottom right, he says, "Harizet poshut shebir did nosi tamar nosi tamu shetam kolush," and therefore it's not like a regular tam, and that's the case of dogim shalom bakar. There's not a real tam that the shtark, you know, the original tam of basar, because it's not basar that's being cooked together with dogim. Again, how this is going to square with the Acherim in the Ramban, I don't know. He says, Elu tama ba minatam. Right? That's what we call not barnah. It's a tam that ba minatam. V'eino ose. And again, we'll quote the Ra'ah that we quoted earlier. Kema de tera v'aklish. We have two strikes against us, which is really Tate L'Tevusa, because the two reasons to be matir: number one, that it's a time of heter in the dogim, and number two, it's a weak time, is kule high when you have the combination of A plus B, lo chashim, su lo chashim basa klav. Okay. Let's see if we can begin this new sugya, this new paragraph here. In no same time or no same time. He says the following: whenever you cook something, and that something has a time, Eina Yotze Kolata. In other words, you know what I mean by cloning? Right? So the clone, I don't know if there's such a word, is not 100% the original. It goes down one madriga. So he says, when you cook something, and the tav goes into that which you're cooking, it's always going to be one darga lower than the original. So now what happens? He cooks meat in a pot. The pot now has received the tav of the meat. Are we saying that the basar is capable of transmitting its entire tav 100% into the walls of the kli? And what's the answer?
No,
it's impossible. Because you could never clone something and get 100% of the original. Now he goes ahead and he cooks dagim in that kara. Once again, I'm going to apply the principle that the original doesn't give its totality of tav. V'lo yotza kol hatav shehayu b'kara. And therefore, the dagim have a tav muat shel basar. Why? Because already at the point of blia in the kli, the kdera was bolea a tav basar, which is not real basar in a sense. It's less than real basar. Now he cooks fish in that pot. Then he's not even going to get the full tav of the blia the kli. Even that's going to go down one madrig. So when we have these two strikes against us, it becomes what's called a tav muat shel basar, and a tav muat shel basar is not considered basar b'chol. Now, in the next paragraph, which is number beis, he says the following. When the tav goes from one cooking to the second cooking gets a weaker tav than the original cooking. And the tav sheni in the second tavshil is called a tav acher. It's a whole new entity. Vatav harishon shevis arev ubismazigbo harehu buklosh. The kashal yachr mikan hushuv yotze l'tav shel shlishi hushuv mitmazeg b'tav chadash v'nishar tav kolush u'makulkol. Once again, we're trying to figure out the Yad Yehuda. We've had him three times today. But this one,
kulkal is l'reyusa?
No, makulkal is latimusa. If you want to be making it, right?
It's a less than good. Right, it isn't bad.
It's an inferior quality, and therefore there's more reason to say it's removed from tav ki ikar, and we can be lenient. So, what is the Yad Yehuda saying here? That when you get from the tav sheni to the tav shlishi, so the tav sheni itself is a haklosha. It's a kilkel of the original tav. And that's based on that principle before, that when you clone, it goes down one level.
So the tam chalosh makulkal was sheni b'shlishi?
No. It already b'sheni, it's already called the tam makulkal to some extent. They're ready for minuchah?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to need a little bit more time on this Yad Yehuda. Does anybody have to have a pencil that I can borrow just to... No? Okay. Let's try to make a little note here without... Alright, so I want to wish everyone a wonderful day.